A warm welcome to the Aldersgate Talks. My name is Phil Martin. Many of you know me. Welcome to you wherever you're coming from, as we always say at the Aldersgate Talks, whether you're listening later or listening now. Our tagline is Christianity for Skeptics, Inquirers and Believers. Turn your video and mic onto mute if you wouldn't mind. That would be great. We have a new format just for January only. 20 minutes. We're trying to keep it short and sweet in case that helps people in terms of coming and joining over lunch. Today is our second in our series of On the Grace of God. And we're very grateful to have Tamara Chabe with us, who we'll be speaking to in just a few minutes. But before we speak to Tamara, I'm going to show us or point us to a few words in Mark's Gospel. So if you wouldn't mind turning there, if you've got a Bible, Mark chapter 2, I'll read verses 3 to 5. Mark chapter 2, verses 3 to 5. And they came, bringing to him a paralytic carried by four men. And when they could not get near him because of the crowd, they removed the roof above him. And when they had made an opening, they let down the bed on which the paralytic lay. And when Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralytic, "Son, your sins are forgiven." I want to draw our attention to what I think are some of the most remarkable and wonderful words that Jesus ever said. Those five words in verse 5, "Son, your sins are forgiven." I wonder what you think your greatest need is. I wonder what you think the greatest need is for your loved ones, for this nation, for the world. Perhaps an end to COVID, or perhaps bigger than that, an end to disease. I was listening to an interview with Bill Gates the other day on BBC Radio 4, and whatever you think of the man, he has given an extraordinary amount of money away to campaign, behind the campaign to end disease through vaccination. We might well ask the same question of this paralyzed man that they brought to Jesus. As he was lowered down through the roof on a mat or a bed some 2,000 years ago in a town called Capernaum, what did he think his greatest need was? Of course, it was obvious to all, to his friends, to that packed room as they waited expectantly to see what Jesus would do. His greatest need, of course, was to be given the use of his body back. I wonder if you can imagine the scene, picture the hush, the expectancy. And then Jesus, with all the power of God at his fingertips, what does he say? Verse 5, "Son, your sins are forgiven." Can you imagine the baffled glances among the crowd? Think of Jesus walking into Bart's hospital and standing over the bed of a child with leukemia and saying, "Son, your sins are forgiven." Or someone on a ventilator with COVID, "Your sins are forgiven." And so with those five words, Jesus says two things at once. Number one, 2 points today. Number one, he says, first, our great need is forgiveness. Our greatest need is not for bodies that work, Jesus says, or for food for the stomach, but for forgiveness. Why is this? Well, Jesus knows that one day this man in front of him will face the judgment of God, just as we will all have to stand before God and give an account for our lives. Contrary to what we're told by the soporific voices of our culture, death is not the end. Death is the beginning of eternity. And there are only two eternities, the Bible says, heaven and hell. And on that day, men and women will have absolutely no concern for whether they were able bodies or not in this short life, whether they had a nice detached house in Surrey or a small council flat in Walthamstow. It won't matter whether humanity in the end defeated cancer or not. It won't matter whether the ice caps melted. None of it will matter. The only thing that will matter on that day is whether my sins are forgiven or whether I stand before my Creator unforgiven for the life that I've lived. And not one of us has loved the Lord our God with all our heart, mind, soul, and strength. That is the standard to which we will be held on that day. And so, therefore, all of us need forgiveness and reconciliation with God. And we need it more than anything else. And Jesus knows this. But we must also see that Jesus doesn't say to this man, "You're a sinner," though he is. But rather, verse 5, "Son, your sins are forgiven." So if we see first from these words that our greatest need is forgiveness, we see second that his great desire is to forgive. Did you notice that he gives this man what he's not even asking for? Jesus is not a reluctant savior. And he gives this man what he has not deserved. He's a sinner like the rest of us. But Jesus cannot wait to forgive him. "Son, your sins are forgiven." And so he is eager to lavish us with our deepest need by grace. And so let me ask you this question. Do you think that he will withhold forgiveness from anyone who comes to him in faith? But that's not quite all, because Jesus gives him more. I want you to notice as well that wonderful word, "son," in verse 5. "Son, your sins are forgiven." This sinful man, therefore, is welcomed as a son. Can you believe it? And with that word, I take it Jesus declares him to be a child of God. And so Jesus makes not one, but two declarations over this man. He is forgiven. His sins are forgiven. He is a child of God. "Son, your sins are forgiven." And so for all who would come to him in faith, Jesus cannot wait to declare you a forgiven child of God forever. This is the wonderful grace of God. It is free, it is undeserved, and it goes to our deepest need. Now, it may be that you're asking quietly the same question that they were quietly asking as he said this. What gives Jesus this kind of authority? Verse 6, they questioned in their hearts. Jesus is not finished. He says, "Why do you question these things in your hearts?" I take it not because it's not a reasonable question to ask, but in light of what he's about to do, he says, "Watch this." And then verse 10, "So that you may know that I have the authority on earth to forgive sins." He said to the man, "Rise, take up your bed and walk." And immediately he picked up his bed and walked out in full sight of them all. And I can't help wondering if Jesus at that point looked at the Pharisees, those who were questioning in their hearts, as that man got up and skipped out of the room. He looked at them as if to say, "What are you going to do with that? Here is the visible proof of my identity as God himself, with all the authority of God to forgive sins." If we doubt his divine authority, therefore, what will we do with the visible proof? I wonder, can we see Jesus looking at us as he would have done the Pharisees, as that man jumped up and carried his bed away, as if to say, "What will you do with that?" So I want to ask, as I close, where are you at with Jesus? Firstly, our great need is forgiveness. Jesus couldn't be clearer about that. And secondly, his great desire is to forgive. Much has been made of the NHS over the last few months, such that you can't seem to turn a corner in London without being faced with another rainbow. Thank you, NHS. But of course, our doctors and nurses can do nothing but patch people up temporarily before that inevitable day when we must meet God. Only Jesus can meet our real eternal need. Only Jesus can meet the real eternal need of our friends and colleagues. It may be that we're Christian and we feel, in a sense, paralyzed at the moment in all kinds of ways. It may be that our bodies are not working well, or that our lives are marked with many frustrations and sadnesses, just as this man's life would have been. Imagine not being able to walk. But as he lay there on his bed in front of Jesus, a forgiven child of God in that moment, so his greatest need was met. Though his body still did not work, his body was dying, his soul was alive. And so if we're Christian, whatever situation we find ourselves in, we are forgiven children of God. And it may be that you need to hear Jesus say again personally to you, son, daughter, verse 5, remember, your sins are forgiven. You're a forgiven child of God. And if you're investigating, well, here again is the wonderful grace of God to all who would come humbly to Jesus in faith. This man was a sinner. His life was full of sin. The grace of God, freely given. Can you imagine the joy of being a forgiven child of God forever? Well, we are now going to segue, hopefully, into a short interview with Tamara. So, Tamara, if you wouldn't mind sticking your camera on, and I will try and pin you wherever you are. There you are.
I've had to join with my phone, so my IT is failing me with my laptop. So sorry if it's a bit shaky because I'm holding my phone.
That's a familiar story. Don't worry. That's great. You sound very clear. For those who don't know you, Tamara is, so she works in the Moorgate area. Has just moved to recently to a new firm called Mandara Capital, which is a trading firm, and comes along to the Moorgate talks. Tamara, you said to me that you were brought along to church from a young age, but then at the age of 12 decided to stop going. And I wondered if you could talk us through why, and then what happened after that.
Yeah, sure. So I thought that I just didn't really believe in God. Christianity to me at that age didn't make any sense. I didn't like attending church. And so I said, yeah, I just really want to stop doing this. But during my teenage years, when I got older, then I was still sort of started to search and ask myself questions like, what is my purpose? Who created the earth? I attended a Catholic school, and I often used to ask the teacher about various issues, and you know, but then I just felt that the answers weren't really very clear. I also developed an interest as well in philosophy and the writings of Kant, and I just ultimately just decided to stick on being an agnostic. So I felt that I believed in God and I was spiritual, but I couldn't really subscribe at that time to any particular faith. So
so this is you in a kind of sort of in your sort of late teens by that stage and early 20s. An agnostic.
Yeah, that's it.
Believe something was there but weren't sure what. And then you said to me that a bit later, a few years later, there was a complete U-turn. I wondered if you wouldn't mind talking us through what then happened.
Yeah, sure. So what happened is my father passed away, and I was just very shocked. It was very sudden. And I found myself praying to God, and that was what was giving me comfort. So I started to look into some Christian resources, and I found a podcast called The Urban Alternative by a Christian pastor called Dr. Tony Evans. I started to listen to that every morning. Through that podcast, he talked about, you know, how you can't be a solo Christian and the importance of finding a church family. So then I started attending church. I went along to an Alpha course, and then years after that I went along as well to a Christianity Explored course, and both of those courses were just really great, just to be able to discover more about the Christian faith in a group setting and ask questions. So yeah, that was what happened there.
That's really that's great. And I wonder if Africa, just some people talk about, I was listening to an interview the other day, double clicking on certain ideas, but
yeah,
if I could just double click there and just ask, you know, what did you find compelling about Jesus at that point? Can you remember at all?
Yeah, sure. So for many years I was searching for my purpose and searching for something, and I was able to find that in Jesus. So that for me was just the answer to what I was looking for. Just finding out about sort of sin and the concept of grace as well. And in the Bible too, then there was sort of various frameworks for dealing with all sorts of issues like sort of worry, stress. So it was just really that framework for what I was searching for and what my true hope is actually in.
And you know, you talk a little bit about sin there and the need of God's grace and Christ's death on our behalf.
Yeah.
Was that something that you were able to, you know, accept, that for you was quite easy to accept, or was there any wrestling there at that point?
There was some wrestling, and that's why for me the Christianity Explored course that I attended was just fantastic, because there was a whole topic about sin and just being sort of understand that you know, I'm a sinner, and why Jesus came to actually die for us. So I can't say that it was something that straight away, it was a process, but you know, more my faith just, you know, sort of grew, and attending sort of things like CE and just growing in faith, then I was able to just sort of come past that and really understand all of that.
So it just seems to make sense in
after all of those years searching. I'm like, well, this is what I was looking for, why did I stop attending church when I was 12? But yeah, so it was just fantastic to just, you know, find what it was that I was searching for.
And I suppose sort of fast forwarding a little bit further forward now, you've been following Jesus now for a few years. It'd be good to ask, you know, what does Jesus mean to you today? And, you know, you've got a good job in the city. So why are you still sort of trusting him and putting your hope in him? It'd be good to just hear a few thoughts on that.
Yeah, sure. So it's just that joy that's not dependent on our circumstances. We see how things can change overnight. Things can change, and you can just have that hope and that peace, and that, you know, you're just living for God's kingdom. So those are the things that are just really have that peace.
Yeah. And you said to me about eternal life, that sort of hope.
Eternal life, yes, hope as well, yes, yeah.
Yeah. Well, Tamara, thank you so much for, I know it's been very, very brief, but thank you very much indeed for joining us and just sharing something of your journey. If those people listening in, Tamara mentioned Christianity Explored can be a really great way to investigate the Christian faith. So we've got a course starting tomorrow lunchtime, so if you'd like to join yourself, or if there's anyone you know who'd be interested in that, do just get in touch with me. It's a DVD based online course, and we'd love to help you investigate that. The only thing left for me to say is thank you very much, everyone, indeed, for coming. We're going to close our time formally now within the 20 minutes. And we're back again next week with the third installment of this series on the grace of God. Thank you very much, everyone, for coming.